Welcome to the Music Marketing Podcast, where I share marketing and career advice for musicians, singers, songwriters, and music business pros just like you. If you don't already, please subscribe to the audio podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you consume such products.
I think I need a vacay, take a little work break, nothing like an hour by the lake. A Chicago girl with Michigan on my mind. If anyone asks, I stepped out, got a long to-do list I wrote down. Put it in a bottle, throw it in the water when I get to town.
Well, hey there, Bob Baker coming to you live from Nashville with a friend who I met 2 years ago. This is Dina Bach, ladies and gentlemen. I know a little bit about you, but if you're meeting someone at a party for the first time and they don't know who you are or what you do, and they say, Dina, what do you do? How do you answer that question these days?
Now? Well, yeah. It changes from day to day. Right. Now, I used to say I'm a high school Spanish teacher, and okay. Now I say I am a singer-songwriter. I play piano pop, and I write a song a week.
So you've actually thought about this, because that's a very concise way. A lot of people kind of meander through, let me think.
Very, I'm clear.
Very cool. Say that one more time. Yeah. I want to hear that again. It was well done.
Thank you. I say I'm a singer-songwriter. I play piano pop, and I write a song a week.
That's awesome. We've got to give a little history here. So Dina and I met for the first time 2 years ago at the second annual CD Baby DIY Musician Conference. That's a mouthful. Yeah, that was in Chicago, which is your hometown,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And yeah, we had a nice chat. And you came to like this artist empowerment workshop that I did. So I actually got to know. Thank you. I got to know a little bit about you. Yeah. So at the time, you were getting ready to start another semester or year and you were a Spanish teacher,
yep,
right?
Yeah, a high school Spanish teacher.
Cool. So this is like our annual meeting, even though we stayed in touch. I didn't see you again for another year. So last year's CD Baby's third annual conference here in Nashville, and I think you had just like put in your notice you were not going to start the school season, right?
Correct.
So are you like, is this around one full year?
It is. One full school year. So it's been about a year and a half, I guess.
Right. I just wanted to take this opportunity because this is great because you're like still early in that full-time status, and a lot of people dream about that and they have all kinds of fears related to it. So I remember when we met 2 years ago, I was just really impressed not only by your talent, but by your attitude. Too. You had this very empowering, we had a lot of similar beliefs in personal development and the importance of mindset and attitude. So what transpired in that the year from when we first met leading up to you making the decision to go full time? There were those fears of God, how am I going to support myself? I'm going to starve. What am I going to do?
Absolutely. Well, I think fear in general holds people back all the time, myself included. So we're fearful of failure, of things not working out, of not being good enough, not being able to do things, and just fear of going outside of what normal society tells you you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So it's that fear of, well, what are people going to think, and how am I going to do this? How am I going to not have a 9-to-5 job? Like, right. That's just weird. That's not what people do in society. So,
especially to pursue a career in music of all things.
Oh, yeah. People look at you like, are you sure that's what you want to do? But yeah, it's been great. I mean, to answer your question, you were like a main person that I met at the conference a couple years ago, and you were super empowering, and inspiring to be able to, you were doing it. You were doing the very freelance, artistic, creative, career path. And so that was an inspiration to me.
Let's just say meeting me was the catalyst. I'm going to take credit for that.
Bob's going to take credit. it was. And there were a number of other things. The conference in itself was like a huge turning point for me. Yeah. That's when I finally started thinking seriously about quitting my job. I thought, this is something that you can do. I mean, you can pursue a career in music. And there are so many different avenues and paths you can go down with music. You don't have to be Taylor Swift. You don't have to be, 500 million fans to pursue it as a living and make enough money to have a really good lifestyle. Right.
Cool. So obviously by the end or at some point before that year was up, you had to put in your notice or let them know you weren't returning.
Yep.
And then so now you're, like I said, you're a little over, I guess, a year or whatever. Either give me two or three things that you learned in this first year, and then it might tie into pieces of advice for someone else who's maybe in a similar position on the verge of wanting to do that.
Yeah.
What can you share in that regard?
Lots. Only three? No. I've learned a ton. And I feel like, number one, it's possible to do this, mm-hmm. but it is also going to take, there's a learning curve with being your own boss and running your own business.
Right.
So I remember everybody asking, like, well, what are you going to do for insurance? And what are you going to do for money? And all these things. And it's like, well, it's possible to do this, but you have to figure those things out. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that took me a while to figure out was what kind of insurance and how you're going to do this and how, like, mm-hmm. those more of the technical details and, like, the annoying part where you have to go on and, like, register and figure that all out.
Right.
Not so much financially, just more so the business where you have to pay taxes quarterly now because you're running your own business and
you're they sole don't, proprietor.
Exactly.
Instead of
and I don't just take taxes out. So the business end was the hardest part for me to kind of figure out. That aside, I would say, this was the best decision I made. And
cool.
I think
so you're definitely happy.
I'm happy with it. Yeah. Absolutely. I was going to say, though, that it's really nice not having a plan B. So a lot of people will say, oh, well, you can just fall back on teaching. You have that. And when I left my job, I had no intention of going back.
Right.
And I think a lot of people still think, well, she's just kind of playing with music and this will be a fun little phase while she's young. And it's like, no, this is my career.
Cool.
And you can make a living doing it, and that's what I'm doing, and it'll go in different directions. But I wasn't planning on, well, I'll just fall back if this doesn't work.
Right.
I think that's an important thing because so many people are like, well, I'll do this instead. And they set themselves up for failure.
Because it's non-committal, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I could always do something else. Or you really have to put your whole self into it.
Right. Now, you primarily, do you perform as a solo piano and voice?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So you rarely play with bands, right? Is that?
I do every once in a while.
Okay. I think I've seen you do that. So that on one hand, that's cool because you have less expenses. You're not bringing four people that have to be paid.
Right.
And so,
exactly.
Do you mind if I ask, like, you don't have to give me numbers or anything, but like the sources of, because everybody's always wondering, how am I going to make the money, you know? And so the sources of revenue, I don't know, were they live performances? How much is, like, what percentage breakdown is, like, music sales or streaming and whatever?
Yeah. I think it's different for everybody, and everybody kind of figures it out. But I think the most important thing is to have a variety.
Right.
So to have different streams of income from different places. So don't, like, put all your eggs in one basket and say, I'm going to make all my money doing this. Unless, obviously, that's one really good basket.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And double down on it. Yeah,
exactly. But you know this as a creative, artist here. You find ways to make it work and to make streams of income from all these different places.
Right.
So, and then it adds up. So live performance is probably my biggest.
Okay.
That's a biggie for me.
And is that a combination of, like, the amount of money that whatever the venue might be guaranteeing you or paying you, plus there's tips?
Yep.
And then I guess there's product sales.
Yep. And that was the next one I was going to say is product sales. So CD sales, downloads, merchandise, tips, obviously.
What kind of merch beyond CDs do you have?
Yeah, I like merch. I like mugs.
Okay.
I'm like kind of a weird merch girl.
Coffee drinker?
Exactly. Yeah. I do the typical, like, t-shirts and CDs, obviously, posters, download cards. And then I also really like doing mugs. I started doing mugs in my last release a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were mugs that I really liked. I'm a coffee and tea drinker.
Okay.
And big into mugs, and so I decided to make them again this year for this release. And
do they have phrases on them related to your songs or related to, like, an attitude or a lot of something?
Yeah. Last time, yes. So I had a song lyric on there. It was my Kiss Me Like That EP, and it said, I have a hard time leaving when you kiss me like that.
Okay, cool.
And so that was on that mug. This one I didn't do a song lyric, but it's a giant 19-ounce mug that's like this brown. It's kind of a cool rustic-looking mug, and it's just got the name of my CD, Walk Away, my name. So, yeah.
Nice. Now, you mentioned earlier the song A Week. Is that right? Now, how long have you been doing that?
92 weeks. It'll be 93 tomorrow if I get it written.
So you are coming up on 2 years solid, right?
Yeah.
And different people have done this at different times. I know Jonathan Colton, who's well-known indie musician. I think he back in like 06 or 07, he called it a thing a week. It was basically a song a week that he released. Other people have done songs a day, or they do it for a certain number of days, you know? But so tell me the impact that's had on you as an artist or a creator, your creativity, and then the impact that it's had maybe on attracting fans.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I never set out to write 92 songs in 92 weeks, but it's been incredible. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, I want to do this for a year. That would be great if I could do this for a year. But I was kind of also thinking, that's it's not very likely.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
We'll do it for 3 months and then we'll see.
Yeah, and I was teaching at the time, so I'm like, there's no way I can keep up with this with all my grading and planning. So I did, though, and my students were a big inspiration. They kind of encouraged me to keep doing it and were giving me song ideas. And then after a little while, that, you know, faded and we were focusing on Spanish, and so I just kept going on my own. It's been incredible. The second year I started doing it, after week 52, I was like, you know, what do I do now? Do I keep going? Do I stop? And I was in the habit. Right. So I figured this is a great habit to be in. Otherwise, it's like there's no schedule for writing. When do you write? When you're inspired, which when does that happen? When you're busy, you know? So I decided to keep going and change it a little bit. So people were giving me song topic ideas.
Oh, cool. So they became involved or invested in the process, right?
Yeah.
In fact, if you have a question for Dina, I want to chime in. Hit like, hit love, leave a question or a comment. Even if you're watching the replay, just let me know that you're watching this and you got something out of it.
like, why is this crazy girl writing a song a week? That's a good question.
And so as an artist, do you think this is a good thing to put yourself on a deadline? Yeah, I've long preached that not to wait for the muse. Yes, when inspiration strikes, take advantage of it. Yeah. Grab your recorder or your guitar or whatever. But you can also put times on your schedule, even if you're not doing it publicly, to create.
I think in any job you have deadlines. You have a boss who's telling you need to do this by this date or this time. And when you're in the creative world, it's like that's shunned because it's like it's all about creativity. And while that's super important, like that's the essence of what we do, you do have to do the business end and you have to set up meetings and times and appointments and make sure that you carry those out. So discipline has been like a big word in my vocabulary, you know, the last couple of years.
Cool. Yeah.
Where I finally just said, you know, if I do a song a week, then I'm dedicated, I'm disciplined to doing this every week. And it's an appointment with myself, and I have people holding me accountable, all of you out there.
Oh, cool. So my friend Craig Caesar, he's also a bass player and a multi-talented guy in St. Louis. He says, do you start fresh each week, or do you have ideas that develop over time? That's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah. Craig, I start fresh each week. So I also do, and I'm sure most artists do this, little notes in my phone and voice memos. So if I am out somewhere and an idea strikes me, I'll write it down or I'll do a voice memo of like a quick little recording. So I don't want to forget those ideas. But every week it's pretty much fresh. So usually it's Sundays. Sometimes I'll start earlier in the week if I don't have a lot of shows, but I have a lot of shows lately. Sometimes I'll start on the piano and write like a little melody line or something, just get some chords down, and then I'll sit on that like subconsciously. Yeah. So for the rest of the week, I'll kind of have this going in my subconscious mind. And then come Sunday, I'll just sit down and be dedicated to writing it from start to finish.
I've been a songwriter for many years, and I tend to write the chords and the melody first, and then the lyric. Then I say, "What is the song trying to say?" And then I develop the lyrics. So is that kind of your process too? As opposed, I know some writers have the thought, and they.
Yeah, I was just talking to Cheryl here at this conference, and she said she writes the lyrics first always.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
It's like everybody has a different way of writing, but mine is inspired by the emotion.
Okay.
So I sit and I come up with some kind of an emotion that I'm feeling based on what I'm playing. Okay. So if I'm playing a lot of minor chords, obviously it's like a sad, you know.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's coming out. So it's a very innate process for me, even though it sounds very, like, strategic every week, like you've got this reoccurring day thing you have, you have to do. But
so I just, this ties into something. I've been doing a lot of improv comedy, teaching and performing, and everything comes back to improv for me. But to me, improv is this great, and it totally ties into this process. It's an awesome combination of structure and then free-flowing creativity within the structure. So a lot of people who don't know improv, when they see it, they think, oh, they're just winging it, they're doing whatever. But no, every game that you play in an improv show has a framework and a specific structure, and all the players need to be on the same page with that structure. But once you get the suggestion from the audience, then you're free to flow within it. So it sounds to me like that's kind of the approach you take. Your structure is every week I'm going to write a song, start it on Sunday, whatever it is. But how you go about that is still very emotional and organic, right?
Yes, exactly. So, that's 100%. And you know what? Honestly, as you're saying this, I'm realizing it's exactly like my teaching job.
Oh, wow.
I mean, honestly, that job is so, and I think if you're a passionate teacher, that's how it should be. So like every day you'd go into the classroom and you'd have a structure, you'd have a lesson plan, everything would be organized and planned in advance, conceptually, I guess. But then it's very much like a free form. You don't know what questions are going to be asked. You're winging it in a sense that you've got the structure, but you're being creative and you're being authentic, you
Yay.
Know?
See, everything comes back to improv.
It does. That's true.
This is probably one of the last things, because you mentioned, like a lot of people do, you were working around your former day job, mm-hmm. you know, building this up. And I've heard this story so many times, and I can relate to this too. So you find time when you have the day job, and I was actually building my author career when I had a full-time job, and I had my daughter, who was a toddler at the time, like half the time. So I was like doing nights and weekends to get to the point where I could quit that job. But a lot of people, when they actually quit the job and they have all this free time suddenly open, actually kind of don't know what to do all
yes.
that time.
Yes.
And that's probably where the discipline came in. Did you go through that struggle of like, I got so much open time. Sometimes you feel less effective
uh-huh.
when you have more time.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
No, I think that is a problem that a lot of people face. And I do as well. So I'm so much better when I'm busy.
Okay.
And I think everybody is to a degree. Yeah. Like, if you only have a certain amount of time that you have to do something, you have to get it done or you don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to use that window of time. If you've got weeks and, you know, tons of hours in your day, then you procrastinate. And it's like, well, I'll do that on Thursday because I've got all week,
right?
You know, and so I immediately became really busy and really wrapped up in music and what I was doing. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you know me, I do a lot of different things. I mean,
right.
I don't just write a song a week. I perform right now consistently on average 4 or 5 nights a week.
Wow, cool.
And then I just released an album. So I was in the studio recording. I was living in Nashville for 3 months doing co-writing and all these other, you know, writers' rounds and things here.
Awesome.
So I try to keep myself busy in all avenues of the music world.
So that's fantastic. Any piece of advice that we didn't cover or that I didn't ask you wanted to...
I would say for the song a week thing, even if you're not going to do that, I would say if you're an artist, if you're creative, find something that you do that you can make
mm-hmm.
a habit
mm-hmm.
and do consistently and finish. So I think as artists, we tend to be perfectionists and not want to release things or sit on things too long. And so I feel like this project has helped me as a perfectionist to just put it out there. It's like, even if it's not finished in my mind or perfect
right.
or the lyrics aren't exactly how I thought they might be, I've got that deadline and I put it out and it's done
right.
for the time being.
Right. You can go back and record it and refine it
yeah,
later.
Yeah, and I have
whatever.
Done that.
Yeah.
You can. It's always a work in progress. So I feel like this is a really good way to just do something like that. That's a habit and consistent.
I just think this is cool because I love milestones like this. I think a lot of singers maybe dream about singing the national anthem at their favorite teams. But I know over the summer we're at Wrigley Field sang for the Cubs, right?
I did. That was a dream. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Were you nervous? Was it or you
no,
know? No,
I was so excited. My nerves turned into excitement right when I started singing. I was like leading up to it. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be really nervous.
Right.
And then right when I saw like the stands, I just got really excited.
Oh, cool.
And I wanted to look around. I wanted to just do like a big 360, but there was a big camera in my face
right.
that was projecting to the big screen.
Oh my God.
So I
no
thought,
pressure there.
I better be looking at the camera. Otherwise, everybody on the big screen that's looking is going to see me like wandering around
yeah.
with my head.
Yeah.
So I looked around a little and then I just zeroed in on the camera.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
That had to be an awesome
Thank
moment.
You.
Where can people find out more about you, Dina?
My website, dinabach.com.
B-A-C-H?
Yep.
dinabach.com.
Yep.
That's awesome. That was available. And they can find you on Spotify and all
Spotify,
the normal places.
iTunes, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
Awesome.
Everywhere.
Well, thank you, Dina.
Thank you.
Isn't she awesome, folks? Hit like, hit love.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think of this, if this is helpful, or if you have any other additional tips about going full-time yourself. That would be awesome. So have a great day wherever you are. That's Dina. I'm Bob saying so long for now.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
I need a vacay, take a little work break, nothing like an hour by the lake. A Chicago girl with Michigan on my mind. If anyone asks, I stepped out, got a long to-do list I wrote down. Put it in a bottle, throw it in the water when I get to town. I drive out to the beach, sand is on my feet, sandals in hand, sun is up high. Nothing there to do but stare out at the blue horizon line. Anything that's fine. Cause I'm B-E-A-C-H-I-N, I'm beaching. I don't need a speedboat, I just wanna walk slow, picking up rocks and leaving behind all of that stress of this daily grind. Think I need a new place, somewhere I can escape, only some coming from the ways, somewhere that it's not Chicago time. I drive out to the beach, sandals on my feet, sandals in hand, sun up in the eye, nothing there to do, stare out at the blue horizon light. Anything that's vital sitting in the pile under my urgent stack, well, it'll have to wait till I get back. Cause I'm B-E-A-C-H-I-N, I'm beaching, yeah, yeah. Sitting in a pile under my urgent stack. Well, yeah.